I never really had a lot of friends growing up. All of my friends, my closest ones more specifically, turned out to be my family. I have two cousins, Andrew and Alex. They're both twins, and they are the exact same age as me, so it's only natural that given the circumstances, we would hang out all day during our childhood. We were all kind of troublemakers. Don't get me wrong, we were good kids, but we also loved a little bit of chaos in our life. You know the saying, boys will be boys. We went on all sorts of different adventures and pulled all kinds of pranks all over town. One time we egged Mrs. Johnson's house during Halloween. It was hilarious. Well, for us at least. I don't think she loved it too much. Other times we would ring doorbells at night and then hide in the bushes. I know it sounds corny, but then we just love that kind of stuff. I remember one year we went over to Mr. Paddock's house. He was the neighborhood grump, and Andrew hid a little remote control car in his mailbox. When the grouch came out that morning so he could get his mail, we three from across the street accelerated the car exactly when he opened the little door, and it hit him right in the face. It was hilarious. Of course, he destroyed the car right there on the spot while looking around for us, but you know what? It was well worth it. The bottom line was that we would always have fun and we didn't care about the consequences. Another thing we had in common, besides the fact that we loved to play pranks, was Halloween. It was our favorite holiday because it was that only time of year when we would get to scare the most people. But as time went on, we kind of grew out of the pranking phase. We were teenagers at around 16 years old, and all the stuff we used to do seemed to us just to be a little too childish. So I'm going to tell you a story about a Halloween we would never forget for the rest of our lives. I know I definitely won't. It left a mark on me, and I still have night terrors, even though I'm in my 30s right now. That year, we decided to do something different. "Hey man," Andrew told me, "I have a friend who could buy us some beer and a pack of cigarettes. I was talking to Alex, and he thought we should go to the cemetery," he continued. "Yeah, dude, I'm up for it." "Are you sure our parents aren't going to see us?" I replied, thinking about what my mom would do to me if she caught me not only drinking, but smoking. "Come on, don't worry. Who's going to be there in the middle of the night? All the parents with kids would be out trick-or-treating, and our parents would be at home drinking wine and talking about politics or whatever it is they're interested in," Andrew told me, making me feel even more comfortable with the idea. It was set. We were supposed to go to the cemetery that night and have a little bit of a party. He talked with that friend of his who had a fake ID, and sure enough, he got us a case of beer and a pack of cigarettes. Andrew hid them in the bushes behind his house, and when nightfall came, he sneaked the goods out of his yard. The streets were packed, and there we were, the three of us, trying to hide this case of beer under our coat that Alex brought with him. Everyone was out trick-or-treating. We were forced to swerve so we wouldn't bump into a little Hulk or a butterfly, who was so full of energy from all the candy she'd eaten that it seemed like she was on batteries. Our main concern was to not drop the case of beer on the ground, and thankfully we made it to the cemetery all right. "This place looks kind of creepy, doesn't it?" I told the twins. "Yeah, but good thing no one is out here to bother us. Come on, take a cigarette," Alex told me while reaching the pack over to me. We found a spot right in the back so that absolutely no one would come there. We were sitting on an old tombstone which wasn't marked. The night went on, and beer after beer, we got a little bit tipsy. The three of us had a great time. We told jokes and we laughed so hard that our stomachs started to hurt. Alex told us a joke and we burst out laughing, but we could hear something. Instead of three laughs, there were actually four. We immediately stopped and looked around. "Did you hear that?" I asked them, and they nodded while they were focused to see if there was anyone in the cemetery besides us. "I guess it's the buzz from the beer," Andrew said, and we all started laughing. Again, the laugh could be heard, but it was like it was coming from right behind me. I immediately got up from the tombstone and looked behind me. There was nothing, nothing but an old oak tree. "Who's there? You don't want to get your butt beat on Halloween, do you?" I said in a threatening manner, but again, someone laughed. "Let's get out of here," Alex said, and we all agreed. We started sprinting towards the exit. "Ouch!" Alex yelled. Andrew and I stopped and we looked behind. There was no sign of his brother. "Where are you, man?" I asked. "In here, I fell," he responded. We saw that next to the pavement there was a freshly dug up grave without any marking or anything. It was pretty deep, so he needed a little bit of help to get out. "Hold on, we got you," Andrew said. Somehow, Alex reached out to our hands and finally managed to get out. As he did, there was a laugh. We turned around and we saw a guy next to the tombstone in the shadows holding a shovel and saying, need to dig two more. Then he started chasing us. We ran as if our lives depended on it. We arrived home and we went straight to my room. That was crazy, I told them, and they both nodded. As I looked behind them, out the window, I saw a figure. Hey, what's that? I asked, and they both turned around. As soon as they did, out of nowhere, a lightning bolt lit up the sky, and the person was at the window. It was the man, with a hat over his eyes, yellow teeth, and a dirty old shovel in his hand. He tapped on the window. I'll make sure all three of you fit in that grave, he spoke. We yelled and we went into the living room where our parents were. I told my dad and he went outside to check just to see that there was no one out there. Right then and there, we decided that Halloween wasn't for us anymore. Did you enjoy the first story? If you did, I would love it if you would subscribe to the channel. Oh, if you want your broccoli to be served fresh, then don't forget to hit the bell icon. Keep munching. I sighed as I went over reports that I had to summarize. It was Halloween, and I should have been celebrating like everyone else, wearing stupid costumes that somehow makes everything fun.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
I glanced down at my corporate clothes and snorted. Hardly Halloween costume. I tuned out the noise coming from the pantry area and continued to work. After about 30 minutes, I stood up to stretch my legs. I groaned as I raised my arms above my head. I rolled my shoulders back and decided to join the rest of my colleagues. It was a Friday, and some of us had to stay back at the office. That week, the work was crazy. Project deadlines were approaching. If I remember correctly, there were four of us that night. Olivia, myself, David, and Rick. I told Olivia that I would join them in just a minute. I checked the time on my phone, and it was a little after 8. My boyfriend would be getting worried. It was already late. I called him and I moved out of the pantry area so that he could hear me clearly. Hey, babe. I smiled. Chris was everything I wished to have in a partner. He loved me and doted on me. He was 26, just 2 years older than I was. It was nice to have someone who cared for me. I told him that I was still at the office and we were having a little party on our own. He was teasing me not to let any of the other guys touch me when a loud crash sounded. What was that? Chris asked, worry lacing his voice. I was about to tell him that I didn't know what was going on, and then another crash sounded, and I realized what was happening. Someone's breaking into our office. My mind raced. How is this happening? I crawled under a desk. A pair of boots walked past me, and I covered my mouth with trembling fingers. Another pair of boots followed him, and they moved towards where everyone was. When they were gone, that's when I realized Chris had been talking to me. He told me to remain calm and stay hidden. He said he had to hang up so he could call the cops. I nodded, then realized he couldn't see me. Okay, I whispered. Someone screamed and I jerked under the desk. I clenched my fists to stop them from shaking. The music was cut off and I could make out some words. Trick or treat, one of the intruders said, laughing. He was holding Olivia with her hair. She was pleading with them to let her go, but they kept on laughing. Both the men wore red-colored face masks. They were going to rob us. Anger rose up in me. I had been working here for over 6 months, and I happened to like my job. I wasn't going to sit down and let some criminals destroy my workplace. I crawled out from under my table silently and I rose to my feet. I looked around for anything I could use as a weapon. My face landed on the vase by the corner. It was better than nothing. I held it over my head and walked quietly towards them. David and Rick were on their knees while the masked man faced them. One of them had a gun, and the other one was holding a knife. My breath came out faster. I could get killed. They had their backs to me, so I still had the element of surprise. Olivia saw me and immediately looked away, trying to not let the bad guys know that I was there. My heart leapt in my throat when Olivia suddenly started speaking with them. "Okay, I'm the accounts person here, and will transfer all the company's funds to you. But you guys first need to tell me the bank details where the amounts will be transferred."
"We want cash," one of the intruders shouted.
"Sorry, sir, we're not a bank. We don't have cash here."
"A diversion. She was trying to create a diversion so I could get close to them."
With their attention focused on her, they didn't notice when I crept up behind them. My coworkers saw me approaching with the vase held above my head and quickly diverted their eyes. I crashed the vase on one of the masked men's head quickly. He fell down unconscious. His gun clattered on the floor. The others turned to me and jumped towards me. There was rage in his eyes. He wanted to stab me, but somehow I managed to evade him. David and Rick didn't waste any time and tackled the guy to the floor. Rick punched him hard and knocked him out as well. Then there was silence. While we were still trembling, we all looked at each other with victorious smiles. Little did we know what was about to happen. As we patiently waited for the police to arrive, the guy I knocked out stood up. He moved back a little and cursed, swinging his gun to keep everyone away. He looked at his friend on the floor. As we heard police sirens, the guy's face tightened with fury. He realized there was no escape for him. He looked at me with a scowl. He moved the gun to me and he fired. I couldn't even move my fingers as I went down. I was still alive, but my shoulder hurt like hell. I saw him move over me and point the gun at my head. I swallowed. I was going to die. I braced myself and I gasped. When suddenly he fell down. A cop had brought him down. An ambulance was called for me and I was carried to the back when I heard Chris.
"Samantha!
Chris!" I sobbed as he came over to me. His hands ran over me, asking why I didn't listen to him and stayed put. I held his hand with my good hand as he rode beside me in the ambulance. I was the only one with a major injury. The doctor told me to stay off work for about a month and my hand was put in a cast. My coworkers came to visit me from time to time during the recovery period, thanking me for being the reason that they were all still alive. Chris hardly let me do anything for myself as he made sure I got better. I resumed work after a month and I never stayed late again.